Now, if you have your Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me, please, to the book of the Psalms and the Psalm number 96, the book of Psalms and the Psalm number 96, and we'll commence reading at verse 1. Psalm number 96, the first verse. O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. And amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his own word to all our hearts for his name's sake. Now, first of all, can we say very briefly and yet very sincerely that it is a joy to be able to return with you to hear at a Faith Free Presbyterian Church and have the opportunity of renewing fellowship with you. And we have old friends and new friends that we hope to meet with once again. And it is a special joy to be able to come back and to have a fellowship with Dr. Barrett and also Dr. Gingery. Dr. Barrett was over with us in Ulster. And he shared fellowship with us in our church. And he preached a word, and we're glad to say the church is still going on. And the Lord is really blessing. We remember the messages that he preached, and it was a real blessing to our hearts. And we thank God for his servant and for his child. And then Dr. Gingery hasn't ventured forth to our shores, but it's a real joy to renew fellowship with him. I was telling Mrs. Kearns some months ago, my wife and I and the children were down in Pastor Kearns' former church, and one of the children wasn't too well, and so Mrs. Barnes took the child into the cry room. Is that what you call it here, cry room, the ballroom? Into the cry room, and ballroom in Ulster is where you dance, and a cry room, and she was sitting there just at the beginning of the service, and I led the meeting. You see, we don't have any one to help us out. You're on your own. And I got up and announced the hymn. And I was singing for all my worth and doing my very best. And, you know, just sitting in front of my wife or two sisters in the Lord, and one looked at the other and she said, "Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful?" She said, "You know, at least Mr. Kearns, he could keep a tune." But she said, "That's really awful, isn't it?" And, you know, I just wish the wife should have said, "Is that my husband you're talking about?" And really brought them back down to earth. But do remember us over there in Ulster and continue to pray for us as we pray for you. We live in perilous times, difficult times in our province. Sad to say, last Thursday morning, an attack was made on one of the lives of our ministers. And early in the morning, the Reverend William Beatty and his wife, children were in bed, and as they were lying in bed, one of the neighbours who was going to work happened to notice a parcel was placed in the hall of their home, and he went back to his home. He rang up Mr. Beatty and he told him, he said, "There's something planted at the side of your home, at the door of your home." Mr. Beatty rang up the police, the army came, and it was one of these fire bombs, a 10-pound bomb. Now, some time ago in Belfast, just outside Belfast, one of these bombs went off in an eating house, Le Monde eating house, and about 40 people were just burned alive. And many of them were just ashes. They weren't able to identify them, and they were just burned to a cinder. And only God knows what would have happened if that bomb had went off. Mr. Feedy, his wife and his children would have just been cremated and burned alive. And yet we're so thankful to the God of Israel, who neither slumbers or sleeps, but watches over his children and delivers them from all evil. So do remember the brethren there. We don't all face that danger, but those in the forefront of the battle, and especially our moderator, he lives continually with a threat of death overshadowing him. And we would follow your prayers that God would protect his servants and return thanks for protection already provided. So do remember us in Ulster as we remember you in prayer and follow you day by day with our prayers that God will continue to bless you. Remember Brother Kearns, the Lord has been blessing. Already we've heard of those who have come to know Christ. And as he goes to Oma, pray that the Lord will bless there and many more will come to the Saviour. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, would you turn with me once again, please, to the psalm that we read together. And there is just one little phrase that I want to leave with you, and you'll find it in Psalm number 96 and verse 6. And it's the words of the psalmist when he's standing within the courts of his God in the house of God, the temple. And the psalmist stops and he looks around him and he sees the beauty of God's house, the wonderful skilled work that had been done by the craftsmen of Israel. And then perhaps as he stands between the two great pillars that support the house of God, the psalmist David says these words by exclamation, "Honour and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." And it's just that little phrase that the Lord, I believe, has laid upon my heart for this morning's service. When David cries out from the depths of his heart in adoration and worship, and he cries out, "Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." Now, as you read down this psalm, you'll find that it's a psalm of thanksgiving, it's a psalm of praise, and it's a psalm of worship to the Lord. And right through the 13 verses of this psalm, you'll find that David pens for us a reason as to why we should worship the Lord. Indeed, the key verse of the psalm, I believe, is found there in verse 9, when David says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth." And you can see the man of God, the man after God's own heart, as he's in the house of God and the spirit of worship is upon his heart. There's no petitions, there's no prayers, but rather there's just praise, and his heart overflows to the Lord and he worships the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I believe that this is something that we need to recapture in our churches and in our hearts today. You know, so much of the literature today is concerning come to our church and this is what we give. Now, when we come to church, it's good to receive a blessing, but it's even more glorifying to the Lord to realize that whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. And when we come not only to receive, but we return unto the Lord the thanks that is due to his holy name. You know, one of the most dreadful things that can happen in a family is to have a child that is always asking and never appreciates anything. And sometimes it's so easy for that spirit to come into our hearts and we're always asking the Lord and we fail to acknowledge all that the Lord has done. You know, some years ago in the land of Wales over in Great Britain there was an old coal miner by the name of Billy Bray, who got gloriously saved. He was a down and out, he was a drunkard, he was a boozer, and God saved him in a wonderful way. And Billy Bray became known as the King's Son, and his heart was always filled with praise. And history tells us by people that knew him, when Billy Bray walked down the street, when one foot went up in the air, it seemed to say hallelujah, and when the other foot came down, it seemed to say amen. And no matter where Billy went, there was a spirit of praise, there was thanksgiving, and there was worship for the Lord. And it's good to meet brethren who have a hallelujah, a praise the Lord in their hearts, and they're rejoicing in the Lord and all that the Lord has done for them. You remember Paul sitting in the prison cell at Philippi, and he pens those words to the believers, to the saints of God, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord. Again I say, rejoice." This is an exercise, I believe, that God would have us to lay hold of, that we'll begin to worship the Lord and to give the thanks that is due to His holy and to His wonderful name. And did you notice that in the service this morning, in the prayer, and I didn't speak to our brethren about the service, but it was on the theme of worship and giving to the Lord the praise that is due to His holy name. Now, as you look at these words that are penned by the psalmist in verse 6, where David says, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary, I believe that there are three practical lessons that the Lord has for us. And I want you to notice in these two words, which we have a very unique combination, that we have, first of all, a revelation of the person of God. A revelation of the person of God. This verse, I believe, or these two words, describe for us the God whom we worship and we praise. And we can say of our God as we stand before Him, as we contemplate His person, the glory of His attributes, we can say that our God is the God of strength and the God of beauty. Indeed, when you come to the opening chapter of the Bible, you'll find that this is the first revelation that God gave of Himself as the mighty Creator, was one of strength and of beauty. Do you remember Moses hardly commences by saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And as you and I stand upon this world, upon this universe, we see something of the strength and the beauty of our God, that the One who made all things by the Word of His power. When you think of the strength of God, when men go to make something, they always have to begin with some pre-existing material. But yet we find that God, the mighty Elohim, He just spake and it was done. And God spoke the world into existence simply by the might of His omnipotence and His divine power. And as we look at creation and we follow the six days of creation, we can see as God unfolds His mighty power as something of the strength of our God, that He's the God who has made all things. But then surely we not only see the strength of God in creation, but we see something of the beauty of God in creation. That's something that you're favored with perhaps in this corner of the world more than elsewhere. That as you look out into the world and you look upon the universe and you see the beauties and the wonders of creation, we're reminded of God's revelation of Himself, that our God is the God of strength and of beauty, the God, the great Creator, who has created all things. Now you'll remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to His disciples about this God of strength and of beauty. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, the Savior is speaking, and He says, behold, in verse 26 of chapter 6, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And there's the God of strength, the God who has created the fowls of the air by His mighty power. He's the One who supplies even the food for the fowls of the air. Then you'll notice how that He not only speaks about the God of strength in verse 26, but underline verse 28, because here He begins to speak of the God of beauty. And He said, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so here we have this revelation by Christ of the God of strength and beauty. He feeds the fowls of the air by His strength, and as a God of beauty He clothes the lily of the fields. Then the Savior applies it in verse 32, and He says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And the Lord saying to His disciples this, look, this God of strength and of beauty, who manifests His mighty power in the feeding of the fowls of the air and the clothing of the lily of the field, is your heavenly Father, and He's the One who will meet and supply your every need. Oh, I rejoice this morning that I know this God of strength and of beauty through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He's my Heavenly Father who meets our every need. You know, some years ago when I was a student in Bible college, in the same group of students that were there, over in Glasgow there was a young man by the name of Paul de Kock. And Paul came from Holland. He was a young Dutch believer who loved the Lord. And he came from Holland to the city of Glasgow, to the Bible school, to equip himself and to study for the work of God and to train for God's service. Now, Paul came from a very small little church that didn't have much financial support to give him. And Paul took a step of faith that the God who called him would also provide his needs. And you know, one night in the fellowship meeting, I heard Paul in a wonderful way relate how this God who had called him had met and supplied his every need. And he went on to relate the story how that he had run out of soap. Don't know if you've ever had that experience, but he had no soap to wash himself and he had no money to buy it. And you know, he felt, well, Lord, you've called me to Bible school. And he said, Lord, I can't go and ask anybody for money to buy soap. You have said that you're going to supply my need. And he got down on his knees and he prayed and he said, Lord, supply the soap. And you know, unknown to Paul, away back over in Holland, in the little church where he was in, there was a young people's fellowship. And they decided to send Paul some soap as a reminder of their fellowship. And before Paul went into Bible school, there was all these stories about Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck jokes were the whole rage at that time over there in Holland. And they got this box of Mickey Mouse soap and Donald Duck soap and they sent it over to Paul just to cheer him up in the midst of his afflictions in Bible school. And you know, Paul opened the parcel. There was the soap. And you know, he stood up in the fellowship meeting and the tears were rolling down his cheeks. And he told a story of how God, in his faithfulness, this mighty God of strength and of beauty, so loved him that he cared even for the intimate details of life, and that God had supplied even the very bar of soap. You know, as the world would look at that, they would say, what a coincidence. But a child of God sees him who is invisible, can trace the hand of God's providence, and can say, He doeth all things well. Oh, in thy sanctuary is strength and beauty. What a revelation of the person of God, that our Heavenly Father's the God of strength and of beauty, and He's the one who watches o'er His own. And the Lord would say to you this morning, Christian, casting all your care upon Him, this mighty God of strength and of beauty, for He careth for you. And maybe you're launching out into the deep to take a step of faith in the service of God. I want to tell you, God never fails. And the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And God will meet your need. A revelation of the person of God. He's the God of strength and of beauty. But surely here we see also not only the revelation of God's person, but secondly we see the requirements of God's people. Now, as a pastor, and I'm sure you do as a Christian, you realize that there are many needs that the child of God has in the age in which we live. And yet, on a spiritual level, I believe that the greatest need that we have as Christians are those of strength and of beauty. Now, when you think of strength and of beauty, first of all, it reminds us of God the Father. But then when we think of strength and of beauty in the life of the believer, it reminds us of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the child of God. And the child of God comes to know strength and beauty through the indwelling and the fullness of the Spirit of God residing in his life. As I read the early chapters of the book of Acts, I find, according to my reading of the Word of God, that the early disciples were characterized by strength and by beauty. Do you remember in Acts chapter 1, the Lord gave the promise to the disciples before His ascension up into heaven. And He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now that word witness there, it just simply means also martyrs. It's a word from which we get the word martyr from. And what happened in the early church? To be a witness for Jesus Christ was the equivalent of being a martyr. It would often mean your life. You would have to seal your testimony with your blood. And almost all of the apostles, except one, I believe it was John, who was banished to Patmos, laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had not only strength to live for Christ, but they had power even to lay down their lives in death as they stood sacrificially for the Lord. You remember when the early disciples went forth in the space of 6 months, it was said that they had turned the world upside down and they had filled the whole of Jerusalem with their doctrine. Why? Because they had the power, they had the strength of God, the Holy Ghost, and they went forth in His name and in His might, and the Lord gave them power to do exploits. And Christian, this morning, you cannot fight the Lord's battles in your own strength. Surely of the blessed Son of God, after those 30 silent years, needed to be endued, anointed with the Spirit of God for His public ministry and service. If the Lord needed that, the disciple is not above his master, and we need the same anointing and power in our lives today. I wonder this morning, Christian, is the Lord speaking to your heart about this? So weak as a Christian, so little strength, so little power, afraid to stand up for the Lord and His name. Oh, for Christians who had power to live for Christ and even not to love their lives unto death. But you'll notice here that we've not only strength in the requirements of God's people, but we have also beauty. And beauty is something that comes from the Holy Spirit in the life of the child of God. Some time ago, I remember a true story of a pastor who was out on visitation, and he went to a certain home and he knocked on the door and a wee lassie came out, a little girl. And the pastor said, "Tell me, dear, is your mommy in?" And the wee girl said, "No, sir, mommy's gone out shopping." And the pastor said again, "Well, is your daddy in?" And she said, "No, sir, daddy has gone out with mommy a shopping." And then he said to this couple that didn't come to church very often, he said, "Will you tell your mommy I called and I'll come again, I'll call by again and I'll see her later on." And you know, shortly after that, the mommy and daddy came back from the shopping and the little girl came to her mommy and she said, "Mommy, there was a man at the door." And the mommy said, "Well, pet, what was his name?" And she said, "Mommy, I don't know the name of the man that was at the door." And you know, the mother was very curious. Of course, all women are. But she was very curious. And she said to the little girl, trying to tease it out of her, "Tell me, pet, who did he remind you of?" "The man at the door." And the little girl thought for a moment. And then she looked up into her mommy's face. And she said, "Mommy, the man at the door, he reminded me of Jesus. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain and his face shone with the Shekinah glory of God? And Moses didn't realize it, that he wist not his face shone. But the people, the others there of the nation, as they looked upon him, they knew that he had been in the mountain top with God. You know, that's the type of beauty we need in Christians today. And so often Christians, instead of having this beauty that commends the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's an ugliness that does much to harm the testimony of the work of God. Christians who are short-tempered, Christians who gossip and backbite, Christians who are so easily offended, Christians who will not speak one to another, and they're so critical in their attitude towards others, then they wonder why they never seem to be used of the Lord and to be blessed in His service. I tell you, in the words of Robert Murray McShane, the great preacher, he said, "It is not great talents that God blesses, but simply great likeness to Jesus." That was said by one of the godliest men that ever lived. It's not great talents that God blesses, but it's simply likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, surely in these days we need to cry from our hearts, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And as you work in university or in a place where God has been pleased to place you, that others look upon your life, see something of the Lord, and they glorify God as a result of your life. A revelation of the person of God, our Heavenly Father. He's the God of strength and of beauty. The requirements of the people of God, as we yield our lives to the Lord and to His Spirit, then He completes the work of sanctification, and it brings forth the fruits of strength and of beauty. Then can we close with this, and we want to close with a cross, for we would say from our hearts this morning, sirs, we would see Jesus. And as I look at the cross this morning, and I see Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of God's elect, a dying on Calvary's cross, there I see the strength and beauty of the riches of God's pardon for those who trust in Him. You know, the unsaved person, perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know my Savior, you don't know the Lord. You know, in Christ this morning, He can meet your two great needs, which are first of all strength. The sinner needs strength. The Bible depicts the sinner as without strength. There's nothing that he can do to save himself. The Bible says that the sinner, the unconverted person in a sinful estate, is dead in trespasses and sins. And he's just like Lazarus in the tomb. He needs the resurrection power of the gospel of Christ. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And it's through the cross that I see the power of God that is revealed in this so great salvation. Saves us. But then on the cross we have not only strength, but we have beauty. You see, as God looks upon you and your sin, and God sees you not just simply at your worst, but as He sees you at your best, He cries out and declares in His word that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The very best that you can produce and stand before Him in His presence, God says it's just like rags of leprosy. It's filthy rags in His sight. And so the sinner needs not only strength, but he needs beauty. And thank God in the cross work of Christ, through the imputed righteousness of our Savior, we have the garment of salvation that makes us accepted in the Beloved. He's Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And so in the riches of God's pardon, through grace, unmerited, freely offered, I have the riches of God's pardon, which are strength and beauty. You know, some time ago in our church at Hillsborough, we were having a gospel campaign and we were praying to the Lord that the Lord would save a Lazarus in the district. Somebody that would be a notorious sinner, like being Lazarus raised from the dead, that everybody would talk about this person getting saved. And one night after the gospel mission, we're just about to close up the church, put out the lights, close the doors, and make our way home. And into the car park there came this man. He was about 6 feet tall. He was so broad. And he staggered across the car park. He was drunk. He had just come from a public house. Big Billy. And you know, Billy made his way into the hall, and the smell of drink was just filling the place. And I thought to myself, you know, if this fella starts a row here, we'll be slaughtered. He'll murder the lot of us. And I just wondered what was going to happen if this fella turns nasty. And you know, Big Billy came in with a smell of drink on him, just left the public house. And he said, you know, he said, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. Took him into the little room, opened up the Word of God, showed him God's way of salvation. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, even the biggest boozer in Ulster, if he would come God's way and accept God's Son, God wouldn't cast him out. And Big Billy, with the smell of the drink in his breath, cried out, oh God, save me, my life's in a mess. Oh God, save me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let me tell you something to my shame. When Billy got up out of his knees and he went out of the building, The other preacher and I, we were there, and I said, well, you know, you believe in the sovereignty of God. If that fellow saved, but didn't really believe it. We were two doubting Thomases. I didn't believe a man in that condition could get down on his knees, filled with drink, and rise up a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you know, the next night, Billy came back again carrying his Bible. His wife was with him. The smell of drink was gone. He had the Bible, the Word of God, in his hand. God saved his wife. God saved his two young daughters. There's only one boy today that's not saved. Several months later, Billy said to me, Brother Barnes, said, would you come to my home? And he built a new bungalow. If you'd have seen the house that he lived in, it was a hovel. The windows were broken. The doors were in a bad way. The floor was filthy. It was just a hovel. And Billy built a lovely new bungalow. And he said, would you come and say a wee word at this housewarming party? And you know, Billy stood up himself. He said the best word. And he said, friends, I just want to tell you what God has done for me. He said, you know my life, what I was. But he said, God has not only given me a new heart, God has given me a new home. And I just thought of the riches of God's pardon. Our God, through grace, is the God of strength and of beauty. And the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Strength and beauty are in thy sanctuary. Oh, may it be said of this church, may it be said of your life, and may it be experienced in the lives of the unsaved around this district. Let us pray. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come to thee this morning in our Saviour's name. And Lord, as we would sit at thy feet like Mary of old, Lord, we would look by faith up into the face of our Saviour, and we would say in the words of the hymn writer, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. And Father, we just want to thank thee this morning that you spared not your own Son, but that you freely delivered him up for us all. And Lord, we just ask thee this morning that thou will enable each one of us to trust thee day by day. Thou knowest the weakness of our hearts and the unbelief. And so often, Father, we can trust thee with our souls for eternity. And yet, Lord, we fail to trust thee day by day in this life. Lord, teach us what it is to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting the God of strength and of beauty. And our Father, it would be my prayer this morning and the prayer of each one of us who profess thy name, Lord, that more of the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ might be seen in these lives of ours. Forgive us, Lord, there's been so much of self and of pride and of self-will. But Lord, we just pray that thou would cleanse us afresh and grant, Lord, that it might be said of us as was said of Paul, and they glorified God in me. Help us, Lord, to reveal, to reflect the beauties and the glories of the person of Christ, that I might see something of the one who was altogether lovely. And our Father, should there be one here this morning who knows not Christ as Saviour and Lord, who knows not the Father's best robe as their covering for salvation, Lord, it's our prayer that even today that salvation might come to this house, and O Father, that thou wouldst bring them to thyself. Lord, we believe that salvation is of the Lord, and Lord, we trust thee to work the miracle of grace within hearts. Now, Lord, bless us in our concluding song, and grant, Lord, that thou would be with us throughout this day, for Christ's sake. Amen.